Let's pray and ask God to guide us. Father, once again, we come before you. Thank you for the time that we have been able to lift up your great name. We thank you that you have been stirring and working and moving, and Lord, you are teaching us. Thank you. Continue to draw us to you. Lord, would you continue to convict of sin? Guard us from the evil one and the condemnation, but rather may we be drawn to you, a God that saves, a God that forgives, a God that heals, a God that ministers, a God that cares, a God of compassion. God, we worship you. Lord, as we go to your word, I just pray that you would teach us. God, we hear a lot of different things today. May we be rooted and grounded in your word. Lord, guard those that are hearing right now from putting up a wall to you and to what you have said. May I be faithful to your word. Would you guard us and protect us? And would you lead us now, we pray. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Well, here we are in this series of standing in a cultural storm. How to think biblically about the cultural issues of our day. So we're taking a number of weeks because this is a unprecedented time that we live in, when there's a whole lot of storm going on in our culture. It's a massive changes morally and regarding our society and how people think, and we want to think biblically. If we're going to be believers in Jesus Christ, we're going to be grounded in the Word of God, and we need to know what God has to say and then how to apply God's Word into our lives. So this whole series is about how to think biblically about all the different issues in life, and one of the issues that we're going to be addressing today is one specific principle, one biblical principle, that if we get off from this one principle, just this one, it will change the perspective. We will begin to create a whole cacophony of sounds and ideas about, well, what is life and the meaning of life and what is the purpose of life. And one biblical principle that we're going to look at today is going to help us to understand and define the issue of life. And that issue of life has all kinds of ramifications. It runs into all how we view others, how we view ourselves, how we respond to others. All of those are going to be rooted and grounded in one biblical principle that we're going to look at this morning. And it's one that is going to step on a lot of toes culturally. That's not my intent. My intention is not to just aggravate. My intention is that we need to know what God has said about it, and this is how we live that out and how to apply that into our lives. And so I don't know where you stand, but here's some of the voices that we are constantly hearing. Let me give you just a snapshot of this issue of life. So this one biblical principle regarding life, here's a number of voices, and then we'll unpack those. We'll be able to unpack those a little bit as we move along. And if you're not hearing them, I guarantee your kids are hearing them. Here's just an idea. The gender revolution. World Magazine had an article entitled, "They Make Babies." That's T-H-E-Y-B-Y. They make babies. It's regarding the shift in parents who are wanting to raise their child genderless. That child is able to grow up to a certain age when they can determine their own gender. And so that's one of the issues at hand that falls under this one biblical principle, one principle of life, the gender revolution. On top of that, on top of the gender revolution that's going on is in the area of the locker room or the bathroom confusion. We've been seeing this, right? So which bathroom are people allowed to use? Well, how does that land? Or in sports today, if you go to the high school sports, there's a number of states that are wrestling with the issue that there are males who are identifying as females and are breaking all kinds of the girls' records. Well, how does that work? What does that look like? Well, God answers some of those. Another cultural issue regarding the area of life is this change of language that has been going on, of changing the language of from a baby to a fetus. So if it's just a fetus, if you remove personhood, you change, you have this whirlwind of results that will come. If you can remove personhood from the baby and just call it, it's just a tissue, just a fetus, you'll change a whole lot if you can change the words of that. Another area of this area of life, three different words that I was looking at that all kind of revolve this one area of end-of-life issues, but you have mercy killing, assisted suicide, euthanasia, all areas in this area, this category of end-of-life issues. And it's the point of helping somebody to die. Assisted suicide, I'm assisting them in that. Euthanasia, it's putting to death somebody with a terminal illness. In other countries, it's expanded not just for elderly people, but also into those who have severe disabilities, severe dementia, and beyond. Well, this one biblical principle that we'll look at this morning will help answer that. How are we to land on that issue? One other issue that I was thinking of here, and we'll start to unpack what the biblical principle is and looking at God's word, but the area of evolution, something that is taught from the very beginning. When we get to school, we begin to start to learn that we've evolved over time from a primordial slime kind of a thing. We've moved up onto the beach. We eventually came out over time and became human beings, and that has a massive shift. If we were just created over a long period of time and not created by God, that has a massive effect upon how we think about the meaning of life. It has a massive effect about how we think about others, how we think about ourselves, and the whole issue of dignity and honor. It'll change the culture and how we talk and how we think regarding that area. All under one biblical principle. Just one main idea that God's word clearly addresses, and it's going to affect all of those and a number of other ones that I'll bring up a little bit later. But I want us to be able to look into God's word and be able to understand that there is a particular worldview. So depending upon what place you come to and what your worldview is, what is your there's a particular principle, and how you view that is going to affect all of those areas and a number of other areas that aren't even on our radar yet, all under this one biblical principle. The truth determines how we view ourselves, how we view others, and how we view all of life. So we're going to look at a couple of verses here, and I want to encourage you to think biblically. What does God's word say? What has God said about this issue of life? See if you can pick out, if you can see the biblical principle. All right, before we just give it to you, I want us to look at a couple of scriptures. We're going to look at a number of different passages, and then we'll see if you can come up with the biblical principle revolving life. Turn your Bibles to Isaiah chapter 43. Isaiah chapter 43, verse 7. Isaiah, so if you're using the Bibles in the chair there, all right? If you're using the Bible in the chair, it's page 639. There's a little cheat for you. 639, Isaiah is what we're looking at. Isaiah 43, verse 7. And if you have your Bible, it's one of those verses that you want to highlight, you want to underline. It's important. Isaiah 43, verse 7. Look what it says. Everyone who bears my name, God is speaking, everyone who bears my name and is created for my glory, I have formed them. Indeed, I have made them. We were created, made by God, created for his glory. If there's ever any doubt about, well, I wonder what I was created for, here you go. This is it. The landmark verse, created for God's glory. Now, turn over to the left. You're going to go to Psalm 95. Psalm 95, verses 1 through 7. Psalm 95. I love hearing the pages turn. You want to bring your Bibles to church. That'd be an appropriate place to bring your Bible. You'll never be told to put your Bibles away. You can't have them here. You can bring them here. It's safe. Psalm 95, verses 1 through 7. See, it's page 524. If you're still looking for that, page 524 in the Bibles in the chair. Here's what it says. Come, let us shout joyfully to the Lord. Shout triumphantly to the rock of our salvation. Let us enter his presence with thanksgiving. Let us shout triumphantly to him in song. Why? Why would I want to sing joyfully to God, triumphantly, like we just sang a little bit ago, a victory in the cross, right? Why do I want to do that? Verse 3, for the Lord is a great God, a great king above all gods. The depths of the earth are in his hand, and the mountain peaks are his. The sea is his. He made it. His hands formed the dry land. Verse 6 and 7. Come, let us worship and bow down. Let us kneel before the Lord, our Maker. For he is our God, and we are the people of his pasture, the sheep under his care. Oh, this is rich. Why? Why would we worship God? We worship him because he is the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. He's the one who created. He's the one who made. And look what he did. He made us. He is our God. We are the people of his pasture. We want to worship him. All right, keep that in mind. Let's turn over just to the right, Psalm 139. Psalm 139, staying in Psalms there. Psalm 139, verses 13 through 18. Now, I often give kind of little warnings. If you've been around church world for a long time, you go like, oh, I know Psalm 139. And sometimes what can happen is that we lose the ability to hear because we're like, oh, I know that. And we just kind of shut down off that. So if you've been around church world, I'm going to just give you, it's a freebie. Look what it says here, Psalm 139, verse 13 through 18. For it was you who created my inward parts. You knit me together in my mother's womb. I will praise you because I have been remarkably and wondrously made. Your works are wondrous, and I know this very well. My bones were not hidden from you. When I was made in secret, when I was formed in the depths of the earth, your eyes saw me when I was formless. All my days were written in your book and planned before a single one of them began. God, how precious your thoughts are to me, how vast their sum is. Do you see here that he created you? He made us. Just look what it says. You were created by God. Look who your maker is. It was God. God, he's the one who knit you together. When we were created in your mother's womb, that remarkable thing of that piece of skin that is over our eyes that gives protection, at some point, God will slit the eyes so that you can open them and see. It wasn't a doctor that does that. God does that. That moment when you begin to suck your thumb in your mother's womb, when you begin to move and bump and your sense of hearing begins. All takes place. It was all God who does this. And did you notice here God's thoughts about you? You are precious. You, church, are precious to God. You're made by Him. And if you're precious to God for all of eternity, is there anything else that gives any greater importance to who you are than the fact that God created you and you are precious to Him? If you're looking for any kind of significance, here it is. This is the kind of significance that will ground you and settle your heart and your mind upon the fact that you were created by God and you are precious to Him. That's your significance. The reason why you're significant is because God said you are. You're mine. He knows you by name. It is a biblical, is that biblical principle coming into view at all about life? Are you starting to see it? Starting to come? Look, one more place. Let's go to the very beginning. Turn over to Genesis chapter 1. If you're not sure where that is, just start in the very first page. Genesis chapter 1. We're going to see in full color here the biblical principle about life. Let me just start with verse 1. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. It was God who did it. And then from verses 2 through 25 is all about the creation. How God created the sun and the moon and the stars and the universe, and He created the earth and He created the waters and the land and He created the animals and the plants. He created all of those things. And then in verse 26 is where we pick up the story. Look at verse 26. Then God said, "Let us make man in our image, according to our likeness. They will rule the fish of the sea, the birds of the sky, the livestock, the whole earth, and the creatures that crawl on the earth." Verse 27, we'll come back to this in a minute. This is a critical verse. So God created man in His own image. He created him in the image of God. He created them male and female. God blessed them, verse 28, and God said to them, "Be fruitful, multiply, fill the earth, and subdue it. Rule the fish of the sea, the birds of the sky, and every creature that crawls on the earth." God also said, "Look, I have given you every seed-bearing plant on the surface of the entire earth, and every tree whose fruit contains seed. This will be food for you, for all the wildlife of the earth, for every bird of the sky, and for every creature that crawls on the earth. Everything having breath of life in it, I have given every green plant for food." And it was so. God saw all that He had made, and it was very good indeed. Evening came, and then morning, the sixth day. God created everything, and He creates, what we see in verse 26 is He creates man in His image, male and female. Look again at verse 27. Three lines here. Lines 1 and 2. So God created man in His own image. He created him in the image of God. He repeats this twice, like, I don't want you to miss this, right? Don't miss this. You're created in the image of God. And in line 3, He created them male and female. Man and woman. Male and female, He created them. That is critically important. And did you notice in here that man is to subdue the rest of the earth, the rest of the kingdom? It puts in proper perspective, by the way, a little side note, of where animals and the animal kingdom should be in comparison to mankind. They are not equal to God. Man is to subdue the animal kingdom. So little Fido is down here, not here or here. Here. It's a proper place. We're to subdue those. It affects what we eat or not eat. It's okay. It all affects that. And it was man alone. This is critically important. Man alone. that was created in the image of God. There is nothing else in all the universe that was created in the image of God, but you were. That has radical ramifications for how we apply God's word and how we see life. You were created in the image of God. And both man and woman are equal. Man isn't better than woman. Woman isn't better than man. Oh, how we get that confused. We'll come back to that in a couple of weeks when we talk through marriage. But we're created male and female. You see the biblical principle about life? There's a number of other passages we can go to, but we've seen enough here that God specifically created man in his image. That we are like God, we represent God, and he specifically made them male and female, created in the image of God. Now, this has been something that's been wondered and thought through by theologians for centuries upon centuries. Well, what does that mean? This idea of being made in the image of God. Well, we're obviously not God, but we're like God. We represent God in a number of different ways. So here's some of the ideas that have been coming out of over the centuries about that and being made in the image of God. It has the intellectual ability, the moral purity, spiritual nature, dominion over the earth, ability to make ethical choices. And there's a number of more areas that theologians have come up with. They're like, well, this is what it must mean to be made in the image of God. And here's what we know. We, mankind, have an inner sense of what's right and wrong. We don't have to be taught that. We know that inside. God placed that there. We have an inner sense of what's right and what's wrong. We have the ability, as mankind, to worship. We have the ability to pray. We have the ability to learn, and that sets us apart from the animal kingdom. We have the ability to commune with God. That sets us apart from the rest of the universe. We can worship. We have reason. We have logic. That sets us apart. We can learn. The rest of the world doesn't have this ability like mankind does. It makes mankind distinct from the rest of the world. It's different. So it's going to amaze us when this settles in. You start to let this kind of come in, and you start thinking on it, and start letting it dwell on you. You start to ponder this idea that you were created in the image of God. When God created, and he created all the different things, and he wanted to create something that was more like himself apart from all the rest of creation. And what did he create? He created man. He created you. That's a radical thought. That's amazing. So that one biblical principle, that you are created in the image of God, created male and female, that one principle is going to affect everything else regarding how we view life, how we view others, how we view ourselves. That has profound implications to the rest of life issues. It means that we have dignity and honor. Every single person. Without that one biblical principle, it will devalue human life. It's going to put humans as simply just maybe a little bit above others. Which is even that is slipping. We'll treat one another without care and compassion. We'll treat others without love. And without this one biblical principle, we will lose the meaning of life. But it all comes out to this one biblical principle. You ready to unpack that a little bit? I want to just do it once over. And how many times this week I've been thinking, how in the world are we going to tackle all of these issues off this one thing? I'm just going to do it once over, and we're going to see how this one biblical principle that you are created in the image of God, you, mankind, every single one of you, were created in the image of God. In other words, I've said this before, his fingerprint is on you, unlike any other in all of the world. You're created in the image of God, and you were created male and female. So let's just do it once over on a number of issues that are fiercely attacked today in our culture. I'll begin with evolution. As I mentioned earlier, right, it's taught from the very beginning, getting to school. And this means that we were created over a long, long period of time. Well, we just evolved over a long period of time. We continue to get better with time. We have, as Christians, as ones who hold to the biblical principle of what we've seen here, we know that we have worth because of our Creator who said so. You were created by God, made by God, knit together by God, and that you have worth. Your worth is because He made you. Lose that principle, and depression and despair will increase. Suicide rates will increase with the loss of this principle, that you have worth because you are created in the image of God. If we simply evolved, then life really isn't all that precious. In fact, this is as good as it gets. So we lose meaning. Live however you want, because it doesn't get any better in this. But what do we know as believers in Jesus Christ? As believers who are created in the image of God, what we know is that it gets way better than this. We're not home yet. God created me, and He is waiting for me when I get to heaven. He made a place for me. I get to worship Him. I get to glorify Him. I get to see Jesus face to face. I'm not home yet. It's going to get way better than this. Man, that's a whole lot of hope right there. It's going to get a whole lot better. I'm not home yet. So this whole biblical principle affects this issue of evolution. It also affects racism. When we're looking at the same biblical principle that we're all equal, created with worth, there isn't one race that is better than another. We're all equal because God created us that way. We are precious. Every single race is precious and equal to God because He made us. That's critical. Oh, what a change, and what a the forces that are about in our culture regarding this issue. The issue of abortion. From this one biblical principle, we see that life is created from conception. That's Psalm 139. The moment the sperm enters into the egg, there is life. And so if we try to change that is just a glob of tissue, God says, no, that's a baby, and I created that. It's life. It's created by God. That one biblical principle affects that issue. This one biblical issue addresses assisted suicide, euthanasia, mercy killing, the end of life issues. It's from this one biblical principle that God put in place the commandment, you shall not murder. So taking of one's own life would be murder. You shall not murder. This one biblical principle affects how we think of end of life. Am I helping somebody? Am I assisting somebody to die? Or, which is totally different than, I'm not going to intervene with the natural process of death. Two significantly different things. I really struggled over this because I feel like I'm doing complete injustice to be able to talk through. Like, we can spend a whole Sunday talking about this issue, end of life. It all comes down to this biblical principle. How do I think about life? Does life have meaning? Does life have purpose? Do I have any worth? Absolutely, you do, because God created you. And He didn't make any mistakes in that. I just think that's so important. God didn't make a mistake when He made you. He created you. He knit you together. And he didn't say, well, that's all right. I'll try it again next one. He created you. Another issue that I've already addressed briefly that this one biblical principle drives to is gender dysphoria or gender fluidity. Against all logic, this is one of the hottest issues of gender, gender confusion. But knowing what God has clearly said now, we're created male and female. How do we come to any other different conclusion? That God created man, woman, male, female. He created them. And our culture is desperately trying to change what God has clearly made. So there is an attempt, and in some cases, successful attempt, to change language. So if we change the language, we'll change the definition, and if you change the definition, you can change culture. Watch language closely. Watch our culture today and the languages that are being used, because it's changing the definitions of things, and you change the definitions, and it changes the outcome. Language is critically important. In the gender glossary, there is a gender glossary for gender identity and sexual orientation terminology. I mean, just how many names can there be? I mean, how many different gender identities or sexual orientation terminology can there be? I mean, can't be that many. 85 and counting. 85, and specifically said, and counting, meaning it's not done yet. The glossary begins with these words, quote, "In case you haven't heard, we're in the middle of a gender revolution. We aren't merely male or female. We're trans. We're gender fluid. We're non-binary. We're agender. That is to say, we are told people are no longer confining themselves to the classification of the bodies they were born with or society's rules for what those bodies can and cannot do," end quote. So there's this massive shift of everybody can decide. It's non-binary. You can decide what gender you want to be, but God has made it crystal clear. And no matter what one does to the body, I'll come back to this in a couple of weeks when we deal with LGBTQ+. But no matter what one does to the body, one is still male and female. Well, how do you know that? You still have X chromosomes and Y chromosomes, and you can't change those. You are still, so you can go through sex reassignment surgery, which is mutilating. We have the impression today when we hear so much about it, you're like, oh, they went through a sex change, okay. It is mutilating the sexual organs that God created, and it is, how do you guard, needless to say, it is mutilating to the body to go through so-called sexual change. It radically changes the body of how we were created, but no matter how you even try to change the outside and the sexual organs, you are still male or female. You still have X chromosomes or Y chromosomes. You were born as male or female, and you will die as male and female. God created that. God put that in place. No matter how hard you try, you can't change that. One last issue that I think this one biblical principle addresses that I just want to address now is body image. How we view others, how we view ourselves. I think this one biblical principle has a massive effect on how we see others and ourselves. The fact is that we were created in God's image, and that deeply affects how we see, what we see. This truth affects how we view others' bodies. This is where the issue of pornography. And it's easy enough to point out pornography, but I would say not just pornography, clear pornography, but so much of what we see on TV and the media today, the sexualized culture, is objectifying women and degrading them as objects. But what we see here from God's word is a woman isn't an object. A man isn't an object. No, they're created in God's image as nothing else in all the universe. So to see somebody differently than that is a perversion. It's a twist from how God intended. We're created in the image of God, and that's precious, not objects. Every time we watch or indulge into the things, these kinds of things that pervert and twist sexuality and the body, is a twist from what God intends. But I want to see as God sees. I want to glorify Him in our bodies. So that's going to affect how we dress. I'm going to dress in such a way that is honoring to one another and honoring to God. Honoring to how God made us. That doesn't sexualize us as objects, but rather as human beings created in the image of God, as male and female. It's important. Society tries to push us to one extreme or another. So we see that. We hear that in the language. But you can't. It's one extreme. We try to focus all on the outside and get chiseled bodies like good CrossFit body. And we chisel ourselves, and that's it. Everything becomes about all of the outside without concern for the inside. On the other extreme, like, oh, I'm not going to do that. So the other extreme, we can go towards gluttony and complete dishonoring of the body in which God's given, and not honoring God with the fact that we were created in the image of God. Two extremes. Let me draw your attention to the screen here of one more verse, 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verses 19 and 20. Don't you know that your body is a temple of the Holy Spirit who is in you, whom you have from God? So, real quickly, this he's writing to believers. If you're not in Christ, you do not have the Holy Spirit. He's writing to believers. If you are in Christ, you have trusted in Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. You have trusted Him. You've depended upon Him for the forgiveness of your sins. You've trusted in Him. I believe in Christ. The Holy Spirit comes in and indwells you. You have the Spirit of God. That's what he's talking about here. But look what he says. You are not your own, for you were bought at a price. So glorify God with your body. I'm going to glorify God with my body. I'm not going to extremes. I want to glorify God with my body. We've seen this all throughout. You were beautifully created for the glory of God. Do you remember that? Isaiah 43:7? You were created for the glory of God. And God made no mistake in that. He created you for the glory of God. To shine for Him, to represent Him. You were made for Him. That is your identity. That's who you are. If you're wondering your identity, I'm struggling over my identity, I'm not sure who I am, what God has already told you, this is who you are. I made you and I made no mistakes. It's your identity. That's who you are. You don't have to doubt that anymore. And that's totally different, this truth of the fact that you were created in the image of God as male or female is the beautiful thing of that is completely different than what I see a lot of empty flattery and self-focus. I see a lot of, and I've been wondering how to even express this, of this idea of like, you're awesome. You're a superhero. You are so great. You go. You're going to be awesome. You're the best mom ever. You're the best. You're awesome. And I appreciate the accolades, but it's self-focused. It's empty. It ultimately doesn't fill like God's word does, of what God has said, that you were created in the image of God, male and female. You were created. You are precious. And the focus that God brings us to is Him. Look at the Creator. When you stand on the edge of the Grand Canyon, how silly would it be for us to, as C.S. Lewis talked about, to make little mud pies on the side out here and then set up a sign and go, come see my mud pies. Are these amazing? And we have the Grand Canyon in front of you and say, look what God has made. How silly would it be to look at the mud pies? Our worth is because of our Creator. Our worth is because of God. And He says, you are worthy, I made you, and we look to Him and we glorify Him. It's not about us. That's my caution in this one biblical principle, is that we don't land that the focus is all about us, it's about Him. Your worth will be because, and you will find far greater worth in life, not just because you have the fingerprint of God on you, but because of you know Jesus Christ and the power of the resurrection, as Philippians chapter 3 tells us. I want to know Christ. And because of this biblical principle, now glorify God in your body. Now glorify God as a man. Now glorify God as a woman. Now glorify God in every way you can, because God is your Creator. Now go and glorify Him. Just this one biblical principle has the effects of all of these other areas, and exceedingly more areas and issues, and ones that we haven't even crossed yet. We haven't even thought of yet. It comes down to this one biblical principle, that you were created in the image of God. You were created as male and female. Therefore, go and glorify God in your body. It affects how we think. That's thinking biblically. Because now every single person we look at has dignity. Every single person has worth. Every single person has honor. Every single person is important. Not a single soul is passed over. That's what God says. Radical ramifications. So now go, church, and glorify God in your body. It's about Him. Let's pray. God, it is about You. This is there's a lot of ramifications for this one biblical principle. God, thank You for speaking into us that You are God, that You are the Lord, You are the King of kings and Lord of lords, that You created us, You knit us together. God, You have so sovereignly worked. God, thank You. By Your Holy Spirit, I pray that You would speak to each and every person praying with me right now. There are some that are struggling hard. God, they are of worth because You said so, because You created. God, there are some who are bitter against others that need to offer forgiveness and have not been looking at others with dignity and care and compassion. So God, would You convict where needed, and would You heal? But Lord, we are your church, a distinct people set apart to be holy, a people that are different from the rest of the world because we have Jesus. And Lord, may we reflect that great news. Thank you, God. In Jesus' mighty name we pray. Amen. If you've never trusted in Christ, you've never turned to him, I plead with you to do that today. The scriptures say, today if you hear his voice, do not harden your hearts. If you hear his voice, don't harden your heart. But if you will call upon him, you will no way cast you out. He is for us. He is for you. He created you. He made no mistake in that. Turn to Jesus today for the forgiveness of your sins and be set free.